Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good afternoon, East Coast. And we have the Hour of Truth here, another week of the Hour of Truth. And we have Philip Walthall here.
Say hello. You
know, he's grabbing for the microphone.
Good morning, everybody.
And we have Brad Capshaw all on my right. And James Usler out there in left field, where he dwells.
Hello, everyone.
Well, there hasn't been anything on the headphones.
Go ahead and say something there, James.
Can you hear me? Good morning and good afternoon, everybody.
All right, yeah, that's a little strong. Better. Good there. Good deal.
Okie dokie. Well, great day. My throat is doing this again. Hang on. All right.
No better.
The messages this morning were, I thought, pretty good. I didn't get to hear Sue. I got to hear Rick, mostly. And, you know, the deal is, the key to this morning's, well, as I received it, I mean, there may be other people may have gotten other things, and, but the deal is, working out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Because this is, there's a point to which you need the Lord for everything, and then the Lord, as He grows you up, requires you to seek Him, requires your evidence of commitment, and it becomes on you to seek the things of the Lord. It's about desire. He doesn't want a whole bunch of people, robots.
No.
He wants people who are committed to Him and show it by their pursuit of Him. And working out your own salvation in fear and trembling is a state of mind. And you can't lose and forget the fear and trembling part. You do that because it's your salvation and you need it. And it's important to you. And you want to know the things of the Lord. And if it's important to you, a man does what a man wants to do. A woman does what a woman wants to do. And there comes a time when you have to put up and or shut up. And the Lord is there in His goodness with His hands out the whole time. He never departs from you. His faith, His commitment is faithful and true. And if you are not feeling it, then you're the one who moved.
Not necessarily feeling it.
No, right.
Find yourself in the wrong place.
Right.
Then you have moved, absolutely. And, you know, that working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, you know, it's kind of just interesting as we were talking just this morning about things mm-hmm. of getting done, mm-hmm. what order, kind of batting around guys and all these kinds of things. I mean, what you're finding out is, man, you are diligent. You want to know the truth. What we're trying to find out is what us to do, what right manner to go about doing something. Might be getting laughed at in the midst of it. Praise God. Who cares? But
me getting laughed at. You were fine.
No, I mean, but praise God, it doesn't matter. It's just one that that man, you want to know the truth. You want to know the truth. Work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. And I look at this as like, you know, I was kind of, I hinted around just this morning, Brad. I was talking about, gosh, you're talking about chief and Indian. And I was going, man, I desire to be in an Indian spot at work, not to be the one in charge on these things. And really, quite frankly, I'm not the one in charge, but I'm responsible. I call a lot of shots as far as that goes in my, you know, I kind of want to step back, but I recognize that if I stood back, if I stepped back, if I withdrew, it's actually just me not trusting in the Lord. That's not me working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm actually withdrawing from the sufficiency of what He is able to do and accomplish right then and there. Not in a works basis at all. No, it's just kind of like what I said before. It's just standing up and believing Him. No matter what the situation looks like, I'm going to believe You, Lord. The things that You put me here to do, I'm not well able, but You are, and that makes me well able. Because it's Your spirit, Your faith, Your love that overcomes, accomplishes, and it's miraculous when it happens. Because how many times has it worked out to where it was by some great doing of your own? And it hasn't been. It ever hasn't been.
You know, while it's working out, there's a sense of peace. You know? We did that song. This is the last line of the song. It's a scripture. You know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. And I was, you know, I just buried my mom a few weeks ago. And my mom was, scripturally, I would say she was weak in the faith. But them that are weak in the faith receive ye. And I was looking at, you know, I think ultimately when she died, she ran into the name of the Lord. She found Him to be a strong tower. And the reason I was thinking that is, you talk about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But in Colossians 2, where we kicked off this morning, and really everything through the three guys that spoke, that working out your salvation with fear and trembling is not do this, don't do that. Paul the Apostle was really cautious repeatedly in his letters. You know, it's not meat, drink, respect, and holy day. It's an absolute trust in the Lord. And something that, you know, you're hearing noised about here on at the fellowship in South Carolina is the level of peace and joy that came out of the preaching in the recent conference, that it's Christ's faith. It's not your faith. Man, it's just so, you can work out your salvation with fear and trembling and be in a state of peace all at the same time. You don't, it's not like there's some huge burden that's been laid on us. And I got to say, you know, coming out of a Pentecostal holiness background, you know, thank you, Jesus. What you looking for?
I was actually looking into Philippians as far as things go. But, James, what are some of the things that you got out of the service?
Well, the need for us to really love one another, in that agape love that is Jesus's love. It's not something that we can do on our own. It's partaking in His love. And when we do that, we will become our part of the body that we are called to be. And, you know, I think of it as Jesus looks at me in that love, and He looks at me through that cloud. Because if He didn't, I mean, face it, I'm unlovable. We're all unlovable. And these issues that we have amongst each other, if we would love one another through that cloud as Jesus loves us, would no longer be.
True that. Well, we're talking about righteousness, but the breastplate is the breastplate of righteousness, but that same breastplate is referred to, and I don't have the reference, it's referred to as the breastplate of faith and love. So what you're saying, what I'm hearing is you get your faith in Jesus Christ and you choose to love somebody in an agape fashion, and that is the Lord's righteousness. It's faith outworking through a love that we choose to have, His love.
And you look at, you're talking about that agape love. there, James. And, you know, that agape love is, we all heard something. We all got fed the agape love of Christ while we're there in the conference. Should be all doing it here now and continue to go on. That agape love of Christ is one of the message, you know, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, we had advice given to us for each one of us. You know, remember as Steve, we came up and Steve prayed for us. What did he pray for? He prayed for what we needed. He didn't ask what we wanted. He prayed for what we needed. That's and right. Gave us, a lot of us was given advice on what we need to do to break out of the place we were in. Now, that advice sometimes doesn't feel comfortable. That advice sometimes is not the thing that it feels too good. But that advice is just for our own challenge before us to go and walk in. You know, I talk to Steve. What I get from Steve, I get direction, amen. I get guidance, amen. A lot of the directions I get are challenging directions. Things that in the natural I'm scared to face. Something I want to go hide myself, put my head in the rock and say, no. Don't want to deal with that.
But you can.
But I can in Christ, I can. I can That's do right. all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. But without that agape love of Christ, without that message given to us singular, he deals with us where we're at. He's a beautiful, loving God. And sometimes that, but without that, would we be provoked to go walk that out? We wouldn't, because we would have no idea that what we were doing was the wrong direction, or that challenge before us is the right direction to take.
Well, it's an affront to your pride as a man. It's just an affront to your pride. Somebody says, hey, you're not doing right, or you need to add this, subtract that. Yeah, nobody really likes that. But that goes back to that walking it out in peace. Because I've been the other way for so long, and it's a pretty miserable existence. James, were you trying to jump in there?
Not till you were done.
Oh, well, here you are, bro.
I'm looking at him. He's done.
Well, Phil, you were talking about, you know, having to accomplish things or tasks set out in front of you, and it's the other key to that is relying on Jesus' faith that he had, because in his faith and his ability is how those things are done. If we can just wrap our heads around that forget it. We don't have faith to do anything.
Amen.
But Jesus' faith can accomplish all things.
Amen. And that's exactly the point.
It may not be on.
I mean, that's exactly the point. That's exactly where, that's what you rely on. You don't rely on anything else. It's not like, you don't rely for your very, so you're talking about the very salvation. You rely on Jesus' faith for your very salvation.
Absolutely. Yours isn't going to deliver it.
Yours isn't going to deliver you. No other man's going to deliver you. It's going to deliver you. No, it was Jesus' faith that delivers you, that saves, that gives you that salvation.
Our faith tends to want to keep scattering itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But Jesus' faith is not the same. And the working out our own salvation, fear and trembling, that's a thing we do now. That's not a thing we say, well, I hope that he comes. I'm going to meet him in the air when he comes. You have opportunity every day to partake of his faith that he's given you every day in your work. And that's kind of what I was saying, in your work or in your home life, your whatever the case may be, whatever situation, wherever you're called, it's right there. It's we're fooling ourselves, we're kidding ourselves, thinks that we're going to go meet him up in the air. If we can't, with the simplest of things, rely on the faith that he's given us.
And he's got his grace over us in this life, so as we step out and we don't get it right, and you know, Phil, you and I have talked about this definitely in our work lives. We go in and make a total mess of something. You know, I'll come home going, oh my gosh, I've heard
there's absolutely, right, the absolutely one thing is true in probably all of us, and that is we're going to screw up. Well, that's not the end of it.
No, absolutely not.
That's not the end of it, because he's good to us.
Amen. And you know what
gets and merciful.
In that he gets magnified.
Absolutely.
Even in our screw-ups. He gets magnified even. You know, I'm reading the Corinthians, and I love it, because you know, it's kind of as we were talking about there, you know, the project team, I quite frankly don't know a lot how to do a lot of these things. That's why I'm talking with you. That's why I'm talking with Scott. But none of those things, it's not going to keep me or you or you, Paulie or James, you walking out what the Lord has. You know, he uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And as I read more in Corinthians, you can just see. I mean, I'm at work, I'm shining an example of God's grace. Because people knew me before I worked there, before I was...
Before you grew up?
Before I was in Christ Jesus and going forward in Him, I was a drug addict, messed up, and the thought of somebody that knew me back then of me managing a place would be a laughing stock. I mean, they would laugh.
But now it's something they can't get around. I'm sure some of those fellows are still there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you do with that?
They're absolutely amazed. They're absolutely amazed that's what's going on. And all I could say is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. I remember talking with Steve and Carrie when I was visiting, and I was like, kind of talking about home and how, you know, growing up and, you know, what's happened with my parents and all these things. And I'd said, you know, the only difference, if I was in so-and-so shoes, would I do any different? Probably not, probably worse. If I was in so-and-so shoes, would I do any different? Probably not, probably worse. Well, if I was in so-and-so shoes, would I do any different? Probably not, probably a lot worse. But it's only for the grace of Jesus Christ in His covering that it works out any differently for me. That's it. And what gets magnified is just that. And that's all that matters that needs to get magnified. It's not you that needs to get magnified. It's Him and what He's able to do.
And that's stated in that scripture you were quoting on a little bit. He chooses the base things. He chooses the foolish things. He chose us.
But absolutely. Look around, as He says. There's not many noble. There's not many wise. There's not many... Gosh, I mean, you go to Texas, you look around, you got a bunch of fumbling people that are very base in this world.
You pull that one right out.
That are a bunch of base people that had just shipwrecked lives, absolutely shipwrecked lives, and the Lord has turned around and He gets the glory. Praise God. That means anybody can partake of that.
Shipwreck is not because people are like stupid, incapable, because if you look at, I'm looking at guys that can wire computers and do radios and like high-tech stuff. It's not about how smart you are. It's about how well you don't manage things.
You know? Well, I mean, look at me, for example. I'm not really high-tech in any of those areas. I mean, as I look at myself, I'm not. And then what you got going on is, though, does it keep the Lord from working in my life? No.
No.
Absolutely not. And I'm okay to be that guy. That's okay with me. If the Lord's working in my life, hey, man, praise God. I mean, if His grace is covering me and I get to partake of serving Him, then praise God, man. That's an awesome thing. And that's where it confounds the wise. Because the wise guy says, well, that guy hasn't been here. He quit seven times. And he was a drug addict. And he did all this thing. And this is where he's at?
Yeah, that's not fair.
That's not right. That's not fair. Man, what's fair is Jesus Christ.
There you go.
Actually, He's more than fair. He gives us, give me better than I deserve, and you can partake of it, brother.
Eat better than we sow.
All right.
Amen.
And you know, that's why the Pharisees so hung up, because they were hung up about being righteous, about being holy themselves, that their faith, their righteousness would be the thing that saved them. And Jesus came and said, that's not the case, man. It's you believing on me.
Can I tag off of that for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so I'm at my mom's funeral. I mean, clearly this is what I've been considering lately. Get done, we go, and you give a Baptist something to embalm, they'll feed you. Ooh, it was good. So I'm hanging out with my cousin, and I said, well, this guy John Reynolds came in a couple of months prior. I'd gone in to see my mom when I was told that she was slipping away. And I'm praying. I'm going, Lord, I know what I want to talk to you about. I don't know how to approach it. It's tough with family. And this preacher, John Reynolds, walked in, and I know it was an answer to prayer, but I was talking to my cousin, and I said, yeah, old John came in, and I know it was an answer to prayer, and other than all that once saved, always saved garbage, he did a great job. And, oh, man, my uncle looked like I threw my teeth in his beer glass or something. Her dad, and she, kind of backed up, like physically backed up, and her eyes shot up. She said, well, I believe that. But see, Paul, you always talk about the goodness of God, the goodness of God. But Philip, you always talk about the grace of God and the power of God to work in people that, you know, have trouble, issues. If you look at it, the righteous run into the name of the Lord and they're saved, and it's the faith of Jesus Christ that saves us. I mean, really, what do you have? I know that at the last day, I could come before that throne, and if he said, you know, I never knew you, I could have no argument. I know myself that well. So what do I have? I have a very good God. I have the grace of God. And what I really have is a reliance on a God that I trust. His character's upright and perfect.
Amen. But you take a look at Paul. He was a zealot in the law. Okay, I mean, here's the other thing. But he counted those things as dung.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't hold up. And you can't base you can't base your salvation on that works. You can't base it anything except the faith of Jesus Christ, what he has given and put in you. And see, that's where we stand. That's why you can stand.
You can stand.
And that's why you can stand. That's why all of us can stand. Because, and then when Jesus looks at, or when the Father, let me pronounce it, when we all know they're one, but when the Father looks at you, Brad, when he looks, when you're talking about looking through the cloud earlier, James, and the Father looks at you, James, and you, Paul, and knows online, if you're standing in the faith of Jesus Christ and what he has done, what he sees through the cloud, his covering, he sees his Son, in whom he is well pleased. Enter in thy good and faithful servant. Who was the good and faithful servant? Jesus.
That's right.
And that's the thing that's covering you. That's why you can enter in. Just like that angel of death going over the land of Egypt. He looked at blood. He didn't look how good or bad or what that person was. If he was covered. And you look at Moses, you look at David, murderers. What covered them? The blood of the Lamb.
You might look at yourself and think, well, I'm not doing well. But, you know, it says him that is weak in the faith, receive you.
The people in the Old Testament that had a relationship with the Lord were not like the Pharisees. They didn't live on appearances. The Pharisees sought to appear to be righteous. The ones in the Old Testament, David and Abraham, and just relied on the goodness of the Lord and the grace and the mercy of the Lord. And the promise of the Savior.
Amen.
And it's clear the difference between the two.
The publican beating on his chest saying, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, this man.
It is. But it's kind of all going back to Cain and Abel.
Oh, yeah.
Cain trusted in his works, the ground that was cursed. Abel trusted in what God gave him.
Yeah, God said, do it this way. Sure. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And that was accepted. He was covered. He was covered by what was given him, not by anything he done. And see, what the Pharisees were trying to be justified by their own works.
That's right.
They were not trying to be justified. They were not, let me put it this way, they were not looking to be justified by the Savior, which that gift you can't earn.
No,
that gift, it's a free gift, it's given. And that's where you just receive it, man. There's no part that you take credit for. There's no boasting on your behalf at all. It's like, oh, praise God, thank you. I mean, it's a relief. That's why there's tears of joy when you receive the Lord. Because all those sins are covered. You're relieved of those burdens. And it's not something you could have done. And it could only be washed away by the blood of the Lamb. It was only could be washed away by the blood of the Lamb. When I received that, man, what a relieving. And I knew it was washed. And the only way that was washed by what he did on that cross, man, that was it. That was it.
Amen.
And then now I can stand in that by him being raised from the dead.
And you know, one of the verses
the
you looked at
that,
this morning was in Colossians. It says, as he therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How did you receive him?
As a dirty, rotten sinner in need.
Without a plea. Without a hope. with dead to rights, caught wrong.
I'm guilty and you're just.
And we forget. We get kind of high-minded and we forget where we came from. But if your grace, if his grace and merciful dealings with you were ever before you, you would walk worthy of the way you would walk in and stick to that which he called you in, which was humility and thanksgiving.
And it'd be a lot easier to have mercy on your brothers and sisters around you.
Absolutely.
And that's that Corinthians actually looking for that spot, but be not high-minded. But it was actually the part where he's talking about be not high-minded, but it's kind of, I forget, man, I want to turn to it, want to find it pretty badly.
There's the Philippians in 3.
That might have been it. That might have been where it was at. But Paul, what you're talking about there, and you know what brought me to Christ?
What was that?
Was somebody sitting beside me, hand on their shoulder and saying, you know, you come to that place, it was Ricky as a matter of fact, and you come to that place where you recognize that, you know what, I'm in this position, and I got this weight on my shoulders, not because of my parents, that's what the psychiatrists, they're trying to give you a justification out, not because of your parents, how you're raised, what you've been through, all these things, it's solely on me, I made these choices. And Lord, have mercy upon me, just like that publican you were talking about. You come to him honest and open, because if you come to him in any other way, trying to justify yourself, you rob yourself from that free gift of forgiveness. When David came to the Lord, the Lord created me a clean heart. Against thee and thee only have I sinned. He wasn't trying to make justification for himself. He came to the Lord honestly and solely. And we need to shed ourselves from that justification and just remember where we came from, who we are, and who Christ is, and the power of Christ, that which we can there stand by. I was thinking there's a lot of things on me just the other night, and I was thinking of how I was, and, you know, just kind of one of those things. But I was okay, and the Lord knew. The Lord forgiven me, and I knew it, and I was okay. I mean, it was like I knew I'd done all these things. But the guilt was not there. He loved me anyway. He forgave me. And here I'm once again. I'm back. I mean, right there.
It's just like he's been known to say that nobody got driven to the Lord on a good day.
Yeah.
It wasn't a good day experientially for them, but it was a great day because they got driven to the Lord. That outcome is a good outcome. There's many who in the same state just rebel and hate God even more. So that was a much better day than you really think. But it's all part.
What will cause that bitterness is when you're blaming it on God or others, and a lot of times
trying to justify yourself,
and that's where that bitterness that stems from, and it's just there's no place for that.
It's like there are so many negative things that can kill you. Bitterness is one, fear is one, and unbelief. That they're killers. They're destroyers. And
I think both the bitterness and the fear strive from the unbelief. I mean, those are
the bitterness is a little more subtle. The bitterness, you know, people carry that with them for years undetected.
And but see, and that's because they're trying to still be justified,
right?
And it's really they're harming themselves. They're harming themselves, and they're not being free. They're in bondage. Even if something that bad were to happen, it was God didn't have anything to do with that.
Yeah, that whole thing.
I mean, it really. I'm not saying things that happen to people are right. That's what I'm getting at. But this world is full of hatred, murders, deceit, lies, everything. But the Lord has nothing to do with that. If you want to blame anybody that something happened to you, it's Satan who you blame. Or putting yourself in that position. 9 times out of 10, that's what it was. It could be partial of it. You know, it's just, it is. And that's the truth.
Sure is easy to fall into that.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I kind of meant to say, but it didn't come out. But, you know, the three buttons, that the health, wealth, and relationships, can put you in a place where unbelief and fear bind you up. And you're back into bondage for no reason whatsoever.
It's misery. You walk around with a bad head, can go on for years.
Yeah. And, you know, this is an aspect of working, you know, in salvation out in fear and trembling. You got to learn how to get past that stuff and reject it.
Well, we talk about the grace of God at the point of salvation. And that's pretty easy to see. To me, one of the most amazing things about amazing grace is that it's ongoing. I know when I was out there this time, I like hanging out with Ricky. Sometimes I forget how much I enjoy just hanging out in sheep shed with him. You know, we were just chewing the fat, and he said, you know, there has been a tremendous amount of grace extended to you by the Lord and also by the people around you in this fellowship. And I, you know, mentally stepped back and looked at it. Yeah, that's absolutely true. So you need to keep that in mind. And it's not just that the Lord accepts us initially when we're all screwed up, but truthfully, I think we remain way more screwed up than he's even at liberty to show us, because it says it crush our spirits. And you keep going back again and again, daily, moment by moment. He's always right there. It's almost too much to get my mind around.
You know, and it's not that, you know, I remember Steve was talking about not the sorrow of this world, because that's that depression, feeling sorry for yourself, all that stuff. But the sorrow that leads us to repentance. And when you get that repentance, I mean, I know, Paul, you're talking about when I repent of this, and I truly have. And it's one of those things, when I truly repented, the guilt of those things, I mean, it's to recognize that you need Christ. And that there's nobody to blame but yourself. But when you come to that repentance of, Lord, I've been this way, I've been that way, I've been not trusting you, I've been a jerk. I've been a jerk to you. I've been a jerk to, oh man, Lord, I just, please have mercy, Lord, forgive me. And you know that, and that is washed away. You know what you've done. I mean, that's not, but it's just gone. I mean, the guilt is gone. That's washed away. It's blotted out. I mean, it's blotted out. I mean, they're not against you. And he picks you back up and says, go out there, man, believe me. Go be my army. Go tell somebody else about me. Go tell somebody else about me.
And it's kind of worse if it's something that you had got chronic struggles with that you hadn't been winning. You fall right back into whatever it was over and over. But he told Peter, you know, until 70 times 7. Makes it kind of hard to kind of brush myself off and step forward. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you ever notice, like, if you ever really screw up, it'll be like that afternoon that you get the perfect opportunity to talk to somebody that you've been praying about for a long time. I think maybe the Lord takes advantage of our low points even. Because then we get back into that initial thing. I know it's your grace. I know it's your mercy. And at that point,
it's actually you were in a better place after, right after that fall. You were in a better place to minister the gospel than you were before. And why? Because
that's the goodness of God.
Because the grace of the Lord had, you had to partake once again to get that thing blotted out.
I love you doing right when you do wrong. Well, I mean, I don't like that you did wrong, but we can use that.
I would, brother, that you said not. But if you do, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
That's the good kind of stuff to have knocking around your head when you're at a barn, you know?
But you have, and you know, it's beautiful in that. I mean, it's that you, what do you get to practice again? But to rely on his faith once again, what he had done in the completeness of what he had done. And that's where it should be, that should have been the whole time. And
is that what that means in Revelation, where Jesus told one of the churches, go back and do the first works?
Yeah. Oh, you lost your first love.
sense. Stay. That's how I want you to stay in that spot.
I would that you'd be hot or cold. I forget. I don't know.
Because you're lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth.
Yeah, but it was first, one. I know. I think I believe you were talking about, but you fought lost these things. Yeah, but you lost your.
Well, one of those is to Laodicea, and the other one's to Ephesus. You lost your first love, I think, was to Ephesus.
And I've done that before.
I've lost my first love before. And I've had people around me suffer with me.
I could be wrong, but that's what flashes back into my...
your mind. You still out there, James? You all quiet, bro.
I'm here. I know that you're lower than Paul and Phil when
I'm
you speak,
out lower.
Brett. Yeah, I don't know if it's just on my end or over the service.
Well, I'll knuckle up on the mic. I can do that.
Well, I can give you a little more volume. His voice is a little bit lower.
Well, I think a lot of people came out of Texas with some kind of thing in their chest, or it's like some kind of viral crud. I just can't quite seem to knock it loose.
It's actually Revelation 2, and you go down to Revelation 2, and it's right at the very beginning. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. These are all pretty good reports.
Sounds good so far, doesn't it?
Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast lost thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come quickly unto thee, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And you know, as I look at that, I look at just forgetting where you came from. Thy first works, have compassion. Remember when the Corinthians had that brother that slept with someone's father? Yeah, and then, but what did he turn around and say? But we are not ignorant of the devil's advice. You know, they sent him off. They rebuked him so that he would what? Repent to what? A godly,
and he did.
To a godly sorrow. And to repent, and he did. But look, take him back in. Remember you're falling away? Remember you're falling away? Remember you're falling away? Don't forget where you come from. And how that Jesus Christ, he died while you were yet sinners. Not when you were like, oh man, I think I like that guy now. I'm gonna choose to forgive him now because you know I like that guy. No, it was just the bottom of the barrel, man. Lord, mercy, have mercy on me. I mean, before you can stand and go forward, it starts with repenting, with changing your mind the way you've been. Going to the blood of the Lamb, getting those things washed away. And then you can stand up.
It seems like, it, just as a guy, it's easier to understand if somebody falls into something that looks desirable to me. Whatever that would be. But if somebody falls into a sin that I wouldn't do, like it's repulsive to me, it becomes more of a choice to have mercy.
Oh, absolutely. Because you can relate to the one, but you necessarily can't relate to the other.
I mean, sin's sin.
But sin's sin. It just doesn't matter. I mean, it really just doesn't matter because it doesn't mean, if you look at Steve and what he in the, some of the cases he has gone through.
About his business?
Has dealt with certain things that probably something that never even crossed his mind.
Yeah.
That went down. Doesn't matter. You got to recognize you're a wretched sinner just like them. And then if you were in their position,
maybe you would have done the same.
You probably would have done the same exact thing.
Maybe that was the thing with the Corinthians, because this guy was into some kind of weird stuff, you know. They might have looked at it and went, really? That's disgusting. I mean, it was.
It's good to stand against unbelief, and it's good to stand against unbelief and the things that you know, the doctrine that comes to destroy, that are not the truth, and all these things. It's good to stand against this. But man, if there comes to you, you got to remember the what I mean by that is you got to remember, man, they repent, they turn around, or whatever the case may be. They don't.
It's just two commandments: love God, love your neighbor as yourself.
Absolutely. If the Lord forgave them,
then why
you better you them? Better doggone believe you better forgive them. If not, that just stinks to be you, not well, them.
In the disciples' prayer, you know, it says, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us," and that's hard. And I went through some stuff, you know, with my divorce and all that. And I thought I was over that for a decade. And then something happened here some months back. And I called Charlie up. And lo and behold, all that, it was just bitter, vile.
Part of that is the reason why that will happen is because you step out of God's grace. See, all those things, remember what the... what the scripture I think is in Ezekiel or something, and all those things, and if the wicked turn, you know, at the word, and yeah. he will forget all the wickednesses he has done. But if the righteous men turn and turn to wickedness, he'll forget all the righteousness. I mean, it's a part of that. It's just like it's all right there. You want to take, you don't want to take part of God's grace. You don't want to take a boom, then step right back in there. Plus, the enemy sitting there wants to bring you down. He wants to hold those things against you. He wants to keep you from walking forward in the Lord. And that's another step of it. Man, I mean, the enemy wants to bring those things up and accuse the saints night and day. That's what he wants to do.
When all that stuff just came pouring back out. And, I, you know, probably took a few hours. You know, things have to settle in on you sometimes. And I'm looking at it and I realize, oh, my gosh, I thought this was a done deal. I didn't think I was dealing with this anymore. And I was talking to Davey and Robin. I said, it's like I'm just... broken. I can't be fixed. You know? And I don't know if I was in tears, but David said, you know, we're all like that. And I guess that goes back to that first works in Revelation. If I could keep that in front of me to realize that I am as unlovable and that the Lord does love us.
And then, he loves us in spite of us.
In spite of us.
And yeah, keeping that in the... You're exactly right. And continue on. That's why you can love somebody in spite of them. And it's not that you sit there and accept their sin.
You want them delivered.
No, you want them delivered. You stand against the sin, but you love that. You point them to Christ. You love the unbeliever. You hate the sin. You love the sinner because you're
so many. Too. So many people, when they hear us trying to do that, they take it as... being intolerant of the sin, you know, like the sin makes you, makes us hate you. It is not the case. Absolutely not the case.
No, it's a shackle around your ankle.
Yeah
absolutely. Like, it's more like when I remember being told, you know, well, I remember the whiteboard one instance where.
How could I hate somebody for sin? Their sin when I'm a sinner.
Oh, absolutely. You have your same old dish yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the point. You want to see them free from it.
No.
Don't accept it. It's not like It's not like when I was told the truth when I was within the ministry, regardless, and they said, hey, Phil, you're being a prideful jerk, or that's keeping you from, or whatever the case may be.
You've been told that?
I was called an insignificant piece of infidelity.
I've been told that, but what I've been told that.
You've told me that.
But I have, it probably have, yeah. But what I've been told is because it's your pride, Philip. It's pure and unadulterated pride. That's why.
So it got Lucifer kicked out. I mean, if you start... shuffling back through the deck, that's a card that pops.
Was that for my destruction? No, that was for my good, because I'm going down this road. And unless somebody says, "Hey, man, this ain't anybody else's fault but your own, man. Turn away from that. Get free of that."
But it didn't feel good when you heard it.
No, heck no.
But it felt good when you got through it.
Absolutely, praise God.
And then I know, like with the whiteboard, that was Ricky. And I knew on the back end of that, I bet he hugged your neck. He was probably just...
No, he told me, get up and... So, all right, now, we're putting in the door over there, so get up and get your butt to work.
Yeah.
I did. We had a great time.
There you go.
And I'd really... All that stuff was gone. I came back from Florida after being staying up all night long, driving back, and I woke up and I was groggy. Told me right that. I mean, it was like instant coffee. I mean, I was like, God, I was just got right up. Man, I was like, I didn't even drink all coffee. It was just got right up. I remember it clear as day. Francisco was there, put in the door. Had like 3 hours of sleep. Didn't matter. But once I got that off, I mean, it just didn't matter. I mean, it, off my shoulders. That didn't weigh me down anymore. And that's the thing, man. You don't you put your foot on that old man that's keeping that person weighed down. Not necessarily to the person, but on that old man that's trying to take over that person. And to the natural man, that person might, it could be offensive to them. Could be very frustrating and offensive to them. But if you're going to love them, that's what you're going to do.
Is that incorrect?
And regardless, you know, you're looking as your minister and putting your foot on that old man, you see yourself in that thing. It doesn't matter because you're trying to put that what's in yourself out too. So it's good for both of you.
And then you have compassion
because
you suffered. But is that in Corinthians where the Apostle Paul talked about clearing yourselves with zeal and vengeance? It might have even been with that same fellow.
What
clearing of yourselves? He talks about with vengeance.
I think what he was talking about was the letter that he wrote to him was a corrective letter. And kind of the context of that, it was a corrective letter unto them. And then, but when they received that correction, he's saying, oh, yay, what clearing of yourselves.
Yeah, what clearing of yourselves.
I mean, what the turnaround that you had was a good thing. But still, there's some things I need to address.
Yeah, we're better. We're not there. But you're talking about, you know, putting your foot on the neck of that old man. And you hear Steve Ashton, he'll talk about, man, every day's a fight. I wake up and it's waiting for me. He said, I'm not as one that beateth against the air would be biblical, but yeah, he's in for the win. It's not easy. You know? David talks about, he quoted that scripture to me about the kingdom of heaven being taken by violence. You know, the violent take it by force. It's an absolute struggle. It's not some kind of wimpy, you know. We may be kind and gentle to each other and the people around us, but we're called warriors.
Against unbelief, principalities of this era. I mean, he's destroyed them all, and it's the fight is within ourselves, and to just kill that unbelief and step into the new man that he's given you. And you don't let that rule man, that old man rule. You let the new man rule, and you make Jesus your Lord. And
sure,
that's where
it's a daily choice.
And you put that old man down. You put it down. And you walk in that victory that he has for you. And watch what else opens up. And it's a great opportunity that we have on a daily.
If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be likewise like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. That relates back to, you know, 1 Corinthians 1:10.
Right.
Nothing, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. You know, we're supposed to be one mind and one body. We're supposed to be looking out for people.
Supposed to be.
And part of that looking out for one another is looking out for that old man trying to take over. It's not necessarily going out and me doing everything for you, Brad, or you doing everything for me, or me going out and doing everything for you.
His position is not, that's not being nosy. That's trying to spear the enemy in his tracks.
It's about freeing, spear the enemy in his tracks and freeing you to walk out your salvation. For you to walk out your salvation. For me to walk out our salvation. And that agape love, I mean, it's that one thing that it's kind of, you know, it kind of had a different mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. I used to take this with the natural man. You can take this looking out for one another.
This is really suited
about one another. Don't hear me wrong, but in this sense, it's for your salvation, for you going forward as a body, as a unit, towards him.
This kind of thing is really evident in the guy that's perfecting the saints.
Right.
The apostle. And the next verse, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what was that mind? I only do what the Father gives me to do. I only say what the Father gives me to say. It's the ultimate humility. None of this is of me. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He left his divinity in heaven and served as a man. That's humility. That's a righteous king.
Amen.
Somebody you could trust.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
And the significance about the even the death of a cross is because that was a criminal's death and he was innocent.
What you find is that's, we're called to die to our own selves. It talks about Romans being a living sacrifice. And you do that for others. I mean, how many people that love themselves, not willing to tell you the truth, not willing to love you with agape love. People that love themselves are not even going to be fazed by it being something that you're hated for, you're spit on for, any of those things, to stand in the truth and be that living sacrifice for that next person so that they can know Christ.
And if you choose to serve like you just described, that is freedom.
Absolutely.
Because you're single-minded, you're seeking only to serve the Lord.
There's sort of a reference to the second witness over in Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Agape.
Agape. Freedom. And what's that agape love? I was talking with somebody not too long ago. That agape love is it looks in so many different ways, giving that person what they need. One was the woman at the woman that was going to get stoned. Neither do I condemn you. Is any man here that condemns you? Neither do I condemn you. The other one was you got the others, but he was willing. The scripture I want to go to is when someone want to smite thee on the right cheek, turn right on the left also. And what that is the Lord stood on the truth and said, he stood on the truth. He did that which his Father gave him to do, and he did not sway one way or another. It says, resist not evil, but when one smite thee on the right cheek, turn on the other also. It's when he stood, and they killed him for standing. He didn't cower down. He didn't buckle down. You know, that's what people want to preach. Oh, Lord, he stood.
He was not a pacifist.
No, he stood. He stood on the truth. He didn't resist the evil. He took it. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death. It was a choice he made. And that's the thing. It was a choice he made.
And because of that, he defeated all evil for all time.
And he came out victorious. New bodies, and he's got them for us, too. If we will have it.
Sounds really good.
There was some good stuff that was put in the chat room that I'll take knowledge. That was tracking along with this, kind of out of context now. But it was tracking along with our discussion. And
what are you talking about?
Gail puts in, Scott and Gail put it into keeping your profession. The first love thing, you know. It was around that time.
Why are you that? I mean, how can you? I don't. I mean, how can you minister the gospel if you don't have it right there?
Yeah,
in front of you.
And Carter, you know, we were talking about Colossians and stuff several times today, back in service and in the show here. You know, he talks about walking in, you know, the corruption of your mind and the and really the mindset of the Gentiles, where, you know, you live here, eat, drink, and marry, and tomorrow you die. We used to walk in that darkness.
That's right.
And he made that comment. You don't forget where we came from. So, all that's good stuff. It's time for us to wrap. So, say goodbye, gentlemen.
Bye, y'all.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us this week with the Hour of Truth, and stay tuned for the Texas service at the top of the hour. And until next time, may the Lord bless you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.